broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
We can't help but rant about Pokemon Go. We're listening to new Brittany, Katie, and Fergie. Teresa Giudice storms off the set of Access Hollywood Live, and we share our thoughts on the Primetime Emmy nominations. And my guest co-host Alejandro Saninez brings the stars of Ghostbusters to the rants, right here. Let the ranting begin. I am sitting across from actor, reporter, and field producer Alejandro Saninez.
Yes! How are you, Grant?
Hello. Alejandro and I know each other through NBC. He is a current NBC page. Of course, I've talked about it a lot on this show that I'm a former NBC page, but it's like a family. We're all good people.
Everybody knows each other. Right.
Yep. So we just connected. I was in for one of thousands of job interviews one day over at NBC, or some informational, too many to count. And I was greeted by Alejandro.
Actually, that's right. It was a talent development, 12.
Yes.
O'clock.
Oh, really?
I remember.
Oh my God.
And you came to see BP Jason.
Yes, I don't even know how you could remember that. I mean,
I have great memory.
Yeah. I was probably late for another meeting, but so we met there, and we have a mutual friend, Lauren Arnold.
Love her.
Yes, love her.
Hi, Lauren.
And so we kind of fell out of touch because I got a job at a different company. This is all at the beginning of this year. And then, as you all know, I've been back at NBC, and I'm back in a full-time role, thank the good Lord. And we were met at the Prop House. We ran into each other at the Universal Prop House.
Yeah, that was, 3 months later, I think? Yes.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I remember that. Oh, I didn't remember your name back then. But then I said, oh, wait.
I knew the face.
Knew the face. The face. Let's get stick with the face.
I know this person. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So, needless to say, I thought Alejandro would be great for this show because he is definitely a Hollywood hustler. He knows the business. And he's out there, just like other folks we've had on the show, actually doing things and really making a difference and growing his career. So, of course, he should be on Grant's Rants. And he has quite the story. So, before we get into any and all of that, let's talk about what's going on. Let's talk some Hollywood talk.
Yes, let's start with the dish.
First things first, I need to rant. I need to say what's on my mind.
Grant's Rant of the Day.
My rant has to go to this Pokemon Go game because I don't understand it. I never could take to it. I remember back in like the fifth grade, people would spend good money. Kids, no one has an income. They're all like 9 and 10, and they'd spend all their parents' money on these cards. And I remember there were certain ones that were rare because they were they had a shine to them. And I was never on board. So I don't understand this. And I said, mark my words, someone's going to die trying to play this game. And people have fallen off cliffs. People have been roadkill running over the tires.
A friend of mine, he just had an accident. 2 days ago? Yeah, 2 days ago. He has a leg. He broke his leg.
He broke his leg playing the game?
Yeah, and he posted in social media.
See, I told you someone was going to die from this.
Well, it's okay. He wants just to share his experience.
Yes.
Pokemon craze.
I can't understand a lot of it. It was never for me. However, I do think it's a nice thing that it gets people out of the house and doing things. I was talking with my friend Kelly.
Exercising.
She said, since this game came out like a week ago, I've been going 15-mile walks. Like, I've been outside like never before. So I was like, well, all right, I can get behind that. Like, that's a good thing at least. You
it's going to help us a little bit, right, with our hearts.
We're going
to do some cardio.
Yeah.
We have some exciting cardio. Yeah.
But, you've got these people. Everyone's on their phone. Everybody's looking down more than ever. I don't know. Do we think this is a fad? I mean, I really think this is just going to come and go.
I think it's here to stay for a while because it's about the money that they are making of everyone looking for Pokemonies and strange creatures, isn't it?
I mean, everyone's posting clips. There's a figure in the bathroom. There's a Charizard in a bathroom stall that everyone's trying to get to. It's like, what is all of this? I don't know.
It was in basic when I was using Snapchat everywhere. Now I think this is taking social media and the experience to a whole different level. And I can't wait to see what comes in between or after. Because I know that they're only prepping us for something.
It's just going to get crazier.
But I'm waiting for what's next. I don't have it on my phone. I don't find it interesting, but I know that people are losing their minds about it.
Yeah, I absolutely do not have the time to be chasing things that don't exist.
I have to make time to go and find my stories and, you know, do some interviews and go back and forth in Los Angeles. Like, you know, I can't.
Exactly.
I mean, I like the fact that everyone with this application is having a great time.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
That's the only thing that I applaud. Like, go and have fun.
Yep.
Be yourself. Be happy. Whatever.
It gives people something to do that I guess people have time for. So that's good for them. But what I've definitely found time for is the new music that's been coming out. I've been desperate for new stuff for a long time. I've been very excited for new Britney, new Fergie. We've been teased about these new artists and their new music coming out for a very long time. I'm like, well, where is it? When is it coming out? Because I'm so sick of that Lemonade. I'm so tired of everything else that's overplayed. Sia on the radio every 2 minutes. I need to get back to basics. So I love Fergie. I love her so much. I put out a music video when I was in high school, stupid, and it was to Fergalicious, and it went for the time. It was like viral-ish, and it was like a big deal at the time. Like the local city, it was ridiculous. But I just love Fergie, and of course, Britney is the original. I mean, from day one to now,
Britney.
Love her. So it's time for some new music. I'm very glad. Some of this music I'm into, some of it I'm looking forward to, and one track in particular I'm not interested in at all. And that track is Katy Perry, Rise. What do you think of that song?
I watched the video, and I like it.
You like it? You like the video or the song?
I liked both.
Okay.
I think it's very inspirational, and it's going to serve a bigger purpose. The Olympics, of course, they are around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the producers, I've been doing some research to see who produced the song. I couldn't find it. Do you know?
No.
I don't know. I need to find out. Because then again, there is something after. Like, they are trying just to make us feel, you know, to be just one entity, to get together, to enjoy and celebrate maybe a little bit of a unique culture world, and we'll go to Brazil and celebrate the Olympics, and maybe also the revenue, because this is going to make a lot of money. I like the tune. You didn't like... I like the tune.
No. See, if this came out in like the dead of winter when there's not much coming out, then I'd probably be more into it. But there's just so much stuff right now that I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm into other stuff. Katy Perry, I like her dance music. This song, while it is of inspirational nature, I'm just not too into it. I mean, I'm not going to be working out to it. I'm not going to be driving around to it. I'm sure it'll be shoved down our throats with the Olympics all summer long.
They already started, okay.
Yeah, so we'll hear it. I'm waiting
for my confirmation to go to Brazil, my friend. So,
well, I don't feel like many people are in a rush to get to Brazil.
Sometimes right time, right place,
yeah,
right connections.
Yeah.
Then if they ask me to go and cover, then I will go.
Oh, of course.
So that's why I was looking when you sent me the file. I'm thinking, I would check that because I want to really be in tune, because I hope if she goes to Brazil and if I get to go, then...
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Then I would just ask her, so tell me about the song. Tell me about Rice.
So you want to interview her about the
song.
Definitely.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it will be fantastic. It will be absolutely. And, you know, maybe if she works out, what is her favorite Olympic discipline?
Mm-hmm.
And if probably it's her first time in Brazil. It will be if I get to go, it will be my first time in Brazil, I hope so.
Right, yeah.
So keep my fingers crossed. Thank you.
Well, someone I want to ask questions to always is Britney. And I'm liking the new song. It's a little bit dialed back. It's not too, like, big and dance and poppy. And I know that she's looking to take a different direction. She's looking to take that of, like, The Weeknd and Ariana Grande. She's really trying to have that, like, that more modern millennial sound. So I do admire anyone that's evolving their career. I like the song. I think she's actually singing in it. So
okay, tell me more about it.
I think that she's singing, and I've listened to it too many times to count. And you know, considering all the others, when all the music is relying heavily on like the electronic beat and everything, the song is fairly heavily vocal, and it's different for her. So I'm all about it.
Do you think it's taking her to the next level?
Well, we'll find out with the sales, because she needs a few hits. You know, all of her greatest hits are from a while back, and I love them, but like any artist, you have to remain relevant and on the pulse. So I think that she's got some work to do with this album. She doesn't need to make any more money. She's made a name for herself. She doesn't need to. But if you're in competition with yourself and you're in competition with the industry, then you have to kind of bend and bob and weave a little bit. So I'm curious to see what the rest of the album sounds like. I'm in for this song. I'm here for it.
Okay, yeah. I think for any artist, right? It's basically getting to that place where you have to improve yourself for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not about, yeah, competition is always an energy that drives you to move forward. But I think it's about being okay with yourself, looking yourself in the mirror and say, I don't like this. I need to improve. I need to get better. Probably she's in that stage. That's why you find her so interesting.
Yes. I do. I love Britney, and I'm totally there for her.
I can tell you love Britney.
But one song that I've been loving is MILF Money with Fergie, the video and everything.
Oh, well, Fergie, of course.
That song has been great, and it's been on repeat when with working out, and I think it's just great to have something new. However, the music video is performing really well, but the song, the actual track is like up and down. So it's slowly creeping up. But I want to hear this stuff on the radio. The radio is playing the same four
radio,
songs.
Radio? Like traditional radio?
Yeah,
like
traditional
when you
radio.
When you drive from Pasadena to Los Angeles,
yes.
Type of radio when you don't have your cell phone up and running?
That type of radio. Oh, yeah, terrestrial radio.
Yeah. The radio that our parents grew up with.
Yes.
Okay, then I want to.
But Top 40, yeah. I mean, yeah, Top 40, those are the songs that make a lot of money. And that's what I want to hear. I want to see some more of my music get back on the radio where I discovered it originally. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Fergie, but the song that I'm really looking forward to the most is Hungry by Fergie, and it's not out yet. It has been two small clips on YouTube that she's been teasing this video for far too long, and I love the look of it. I love
Wait,
the sound
long?
Of it. They've been up for like, she released the second bite like a couple, like 2 weeks ago. So it's been about a month. And I'm like waiting now for the full track to come out. Apparently Fergie has pre-recorded a lot like Beyonce, all pre-recorded music videos. So there's a lot ready to be released. She's holding on to a lot. And I'm like, all right, well, let's put it out there because it's the summer. We don't really have a summer anthem, I don't think. So I'm like,
no,
let's get it going.
Right.
Let's get it going.
I met one of, in my opinion, influential music producers, I will tell you in a little bit, but he taught me something about this process of having the song and, you know, just timing. Don't take too long, but don't release the song like right away. Just timing, I see the issue here.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the managers, maybe the producers, I don't know. What
yeah.
do you think? It's timing, it's always timing. Because
there's gotta be
I
something.
I mean, we're in the summer, but what about if they don't release in the summer or what is left for the summer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I feel like in this lifestyle now, everything is so instantaneous. Like when I get done recording this podcast, I can't get it up fast enough. You know,
right.
Everything is just, you have to capitalize off of the moment. You have to remain relevant. I mean, these topics could go sour if I wait, if I sit on this for 10 days. You know what I mean?
Right.
Someone
yes.
could die and then they'd be listening to this and they'd be like, why are you talking about this? Like, is it even relevant? So yeah, I think that, you know, you got to kind of move quick with certain things. But you know, Britney's video to Make Me was leaked. There was clips and Perez Hilton did a horrible job, as usual, showing a clip of it and teasing it and talking about it, but saying that he didn't do anything. He's so unprofessional. I can't stand any part of him. And then because of that, they ended up just releasing the track. No music video yet,
oh,
but
it.
The music video has been recorded for like 2 months. So again, I just don't know. You've released the track. It's skyrocketing. It's doing well. Everyone's talking about it, but where's the video? If it's already made, then where's the video?
It takes, what, a month after, I think? But maybe they come. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they don't have the right production company to go with it, right?
Yeah,
because
maybe,
it has
maybe
to be
it's
a,
butchered
who's
up.
The best director, who's the best cameraman, who's the best crew, the best creative team behind. Because they probably they don't want to just create something, you know, like quick and fast. Like, probably they take it, and I give them also the benefit of the doubt. Come on, you
yeah.
know?
Well, she's been working on this album for 2 years, so. Let's see.
You know, people need
I'm expecting perfection. Let's talk about Teresa Giudice storming off Access Hollywood Live.
Oh, that's good. Let's start with.
I have to talk a little bit about Housewives. Now, of course, I'm covering the Real Housewives of New Jersey and Orange County over at AfterBuzz TV. You all can feel free to check out those recaps if you like. But we need to talk about what's going on in the news, because this is Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. And earlier this week, Teresa and Melissa were on Access Hollywood Live. And Teresa was asked about her husband's possible deportation and what the family is kind of doing and thinking at this point. And she was not about this question. She found it to be very rude, and she got very flustered. And then they mentioned other housewife, Real Housewife of Orange County, Heather Dubrow, and that was like it. Like, that was like, I mean, those, because Heather said things against Teresa, and so Teresa felt insulted and stormed off, taking the microphone with her, like ripping the microphone right off of her co-star.
And it's like, oh, okay.
And that was it. And I have to say, Kid Hoover, Access Hollywood Live, handled herself very well. She said, this is not a rude question. She said, you're going to be asked this again. This is, you're on a reality show. This is what's going on in your life. Like, this is, there's nothing offensive about this. And Teresa still took off, and then in classic passive-aggressive housewives fashion, she had to tweet Kit Who on Twitter. So, Teresa, I find you to be incredibly foolish, and I'm not surprised by your behavior. What do you make of this, Alejandro?
First of all, Access Hollywood did a wonderful thing. I'm Hispanic. I'm an immigrant. And if I tell you how many times I have been asked similar questions with my status in the country, like, hey, are you an illegal document? Like, undocumented illegal, I'm sorry. No. But you know what? I think it's always about the tone of the question and the way they ask. And I think Access Hollywood did a wonderful job. They did the research, and they also, they're showing human interest about the family, right? Because this is a very hot topic that has been for a while, you know, in the media. And we're talking, especially we Latinos, we talk about this all the time, because families have been separated as we speak, you know. And then I think she should have taken a different approach and say, you know what, you guys really care about my family. Why not? Well, you know, a simple, I hope things get better. We're talking to our attorney and thank you for asking.
You have to have something prepared for such a question.
And if you're in a reality show and you're showing your life, why not be prepared for this question? Because I believe that this question is going to come up again and again and again. So she has to confront, she has to face that. But come on, take it easy, girl. I mean,
what do you expect?
I think you have a lot of support now. And that was meant to be a supportive conversation, right? We want to hear what you feel, how you feel about this. You know,
I agree.
Yeah, why not taking a nudge down? I mean, come on. It's difficult for some people to talk about this. Absolutely difficult. I have lost friends who were here, and they just couldn't become, you know, what they wanted to be because of the system, because of the immigration system that is so broken. And they have to go back home. And it's very difficult. Until something happens, they will be able to return to their families. Mm-hmm. So it's not an easy topic, I understand. But you know what? I think time has passed, and we have more support in Washington, and we have more support in our state, in California. Why not? Why not put it out there? And maybe someone will be able to tell, you might want to try this. Or there's a different law. Or maybe you can try, you know, to pursue this other route. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just my experience that it's always, they always will ask the question in that way, just to let you know that we care about you.
You know, they say when you are a convicted felon, that is grounds for removal if you are not a citizen, almost immediately. Now, he did not commit a violent crime, but he's also faced more than one felony in the time that he's been in this country. So, who knows? We will find out as the world finds out what goes on with Joe.
We will pray for you. We will definitely wish you the best, because we understand that it can be very difficult. But she's giving interviews about her reality show, right? And then this is in the back of her, inside of her closet, right? She has some skeletons right there. But, I mean, just...
I mean, this is her story, though. This is her storyline.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, you know, that's, if you Google her, that's the first thing that will come up is her legal problems. You know, she wrote a whole book about it.
Well, okay, case closed.
Yeah, so Teresa, again, not looking good, but let's turn our attention to the Emmys. The nominations were announced this week. The full ceremony will be held on September 18th on ABC, and Jimmy Kimmel is hosting once again. I don't enjoy any part of him. I don't find him to be funny. I find him to be very dry, and not in a comedy way, not in a comedic way. I love some good dry humor. I try to incorporate it myself. But there's just something about his brand of humor, and I've said this before on the show when he was announcing his candidacy for vice president. I'm just not interested. I'm not interested, and it's not going to bring me to watch it. I have a very love-hate relationship with award shows anyway.
Okay.
I think they go on. The season just goes on for way too long. It's very much a mutual admiration society. The Emmys kind of kicks it all off, which I'm, you know, we'd prefer the Emmys over a lot of others because it's television. I love TV.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
We want to be entertained, right?
Yes, but it also highlights TV. I'm not too much of a movie guy. So I would rather see a bunch of TV awards be given out and you know, the television stars be recognized and directors, because that's really my thing. But Jimmy Kimmel, he can stay home.
Well, you know, I like him. I think he's cool.
But that's fine. I mean, you can have an opinion about him. I don't care. Let's talk about some different nominations that were announced and what we were happy to see and then what we thought was perhaps a snub. Now, this is the beginning of a very long conversation, but, you know, just our initial reactions to what we saw that
announced
this week.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. What do you think?
Well, see, I wish I could watch Game of Thrones. I don't have access to it.
You haven't watched Game of Thrones?
I don't have any access to it at all.
Netflix. It's on Netflix, right?
No, it's HBO.
This wonderful show with Lily Tomlin is in the show.
Oh, yeah, the Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie.
Like that too, yeah.
I'm actually, I was expecting something like that. I like her. Uh-huh. I think she's fantastic in
that
show.
Yeah, Lily Tomlin, she's nominated.
What other shows that you agree and you think, yes, I was expecting something like this. I'm glad they did it.
Yes, well, The People versus OJ, that is a show I talked a lot about on Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk, and I thought that was a great show. I really, really was into it. I mean, Sarah Paulson is an amazing actress, and she brought so much to that series. I mean, a lot of people are puzzled that Cuba Gooding Jr. was nominated.
But why? I mean, he's talented.
Yeah. Maybe people feel like they didn't give him the material necessary. Like Sarah Paulson and Courtney B. Vance had amazing content and material to pull from, and really delivered great, great performances. No shade against Cuba, but you know, maybe they had a little bit more. People feel like I love the show though. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so well done. Downton Abbey, another show I love. And I just can't seem to let that one go. I have one last season that I must watch, and that's the season that's nominated. And I'm glad to see that get the attention it deserves. That is just such a well-done show on every level. I love that. RuPaul was nominated for Outstanding Host in the competition series. How interesting.
I think it deserves that. I think he's very talented. He has broken so many boundaries and barriers. And he's going to do something more. Mark my words, I think he's going to bring all the gay entertainment, if it's a way to put it out there.
Yeah.
And maybe be able to incorporate it with, you know, mainstream of entertainment. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and
bridge
I think,
the gap.
Yeah, he's doing it, don't you think? He's doing the crossover.
Mm-hmm. He's bigger than ever, and he's been around for a long time.
And yes, but guess what? I know that people are following his path or his, like, he's setting up an example of how things are going to start working in the immediate future.
Yeah.
I believe that this guy is so talented, and he has a couple surprises for us, and he's going to start, you know, this is just after his show, right? And this was very successful. But I think he's going to start bringing more and more things. because he's always thinking. He's always getting together with a group of talented people. Mm-hmm. And I remember he said that, to help each other. And that means to help alliances, gay and straight alliances, just to help each other, right?
Yeah.
To bring together a conglomerate of people and just create. Because now we have so many outlets and want to see so many different things. Let's see what he's going to... let's keep an eye on him.
Yeah, this guy's got a specialty thing going on. He's not entirely mainstream, but to the group that he caters to, he is mainstream to them. And it's not overexposure. And I like that. I think we need a little bit less Ryan Seacrest of the world in everyone's face, and a little bit more people in the niche side of things. And I'm okay with that, because that's what makes things fresh and a variety. You know, and Andy Cohen, I mean, he's another one. I mean, I really liked him in the beginning.
Bravo,
you
know, like Andy Cohen. Of course.
Yes. I really liked him, too, and I still do, but he's, you know, he's a little overexposed, one could say.
Yeah. Okay.
A little too much. What did you find surprising that was snubbed from these nominations at first look?
Who got snubbed?
Well, Orange is the New Black, they didn't really get much of anything. And I think that's another well-done show with great performances. Granted, a lot of them have been recognized in the past. But perhaps it was from a lackluster season. The season in which they're nominated really wasn't that great. I mean, it was entertaining and well-done. But the writing was not as sharp as other seasons, including this current one. So
I'm just going
to
say this. And it's my, and I'm entitled to my opinion, but they, I don't know. It seems so, the entire nominations, they seem a little buddy-buddy.
Oh, well,
a little bit political-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble, but hey, I'm entitled to my opinion. I don't know. I will wait.
Well,
we will see.
You know, I agree with you.
Again, what was it?
Some folks believe that Rob Lowe should have been nominated for... For the Grinder, and he did not, because that show is canceled, and so there's no Emmy campaign for a canceled show. Fox just won't do it. So it's all about these campaigns,
but
and
I
if they don't,
a great show. I mean, I like that.
You like the show?
Yeah. Like, I think he's very talented.
But it's all about these campaigns. If you can't get these people behind you to push you forward,
you just something interesting campaigns.
Yeah, that's all what it's about.
I thought politics were for Washington.
Yeah.
Not for entertainment, but, you know.
Don't be too surprised, because it's all, you know, the FYCs for your consideration. Billboards are up in May for September Emmys, so it's... They're up early, and it's a huge deal with putting money behind these nominations, and it's not cheap. Even just to submit, you pay per person. So if you have a writing team of six people or a directing team for a series... It's hundreds of dollars per head. So there's a lot of money invested in these.
Do you think they make decisions over martinis or maybe drinks, dinner?
Who doesn't? Anyone with a good mind would make a nice decision over a nice glass of champagne.
If you and I were in charge of this, I would say, let's have dinner and, you know, let's get really, really loose. About this?
Well, let's be real. I always say it's a lot of the same people doing the same things. It's a lot of the same people being nominated. So those relationships are there, and perhaps they know how
strong
to work it.
Strong relationships. I see that.
I remember those one actress on a show that I worked on who brought in dozens and dozens of cupcakes the day that it was time to do pre-nominations. So
I like cupcakes.
Yes. So it's an advantage she had over the others who came up empty-handed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Promotional consideration for this episode is provided by the Starving Artists Project. They photograph celebrity press portraits and keep the studio open so struggling artists can get whatever photography they need to jumpstart their careers. I recently had the pleasure of working with Michael of Getty Images and the team there, and I can't say enough about them. I encourage you all to check them out on thestarvingartistsproject.com, and they are on all social media platforms.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
And we're back. We're talking with Alejandro still.
Yes, Alejandro's in the house.
And we're talking about a bunch of different things that are in his life and what he's doing here in Hollywood. But first, I want to talk about how he got to Hollywood and his story, because it's like nothing that we've talked about on this show before. A lot of people have moved across the country to come here, but no one really has had to endure so much and come from so far. So let's talk real quick about
I came from the South, Mexico.
Yes.
I started 15 years ago in Texas. I lived in 5 years in Dallas. Wonderful state, not for me. Then I moved to Florida. Lovely place, and I left my heart, and I love everyone there. But after 10 years, I wanted to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought, not even in my wildest dreams, that I would come to Hollywood. Let's make this clear. But I applied for jobs in the meantime, while I was in Orlando working and applying for jobs, because everybody has a dream or a big goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was applying. I always wanted to work in the industry, and I had a couple internships, and I did something in New York City, red carpet experiences. And I was accepted into the PAGE program last year in September 2015. And I started the PAGE program. And then, like everyone else, that was my start.
And then I
spent a couple months, seven, in talent development, which I call that's the University of NBC.
Yeah.
And then from there, they gave me the opportunity to go to Telemundo. And I'm a production assistant, film producer, reporter, writer, you name it, for a show called Acceso Total. I do everything.
You're so doing a lot. I mean, his Facebook, every day there's something new. He's doing something. If you check him out on Instagram, you'll see him on the show, on the set. You know, you're in your PAGE uniform.
I have two commercials.
Two commercials.
I have two commercials. One for, can I say the brands or no?
Yeah.
Okay, one is for Chevrolet, and another one is for McDonald's.
I have
two commercials, yes. But those things happen, I don't think randomly, but I was just at the right time and the right place inside of Telemundo, like, do you want to be in a commercial? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? It always builds an experience.
It is right place, right time.
It always builds an experience. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the acting. Yes, I do. But and then the producer, the wonderful producer, the executive producer of the show, she asked me for my experience in news reporting, and I did some breaking news in Orlando. And then I said, yeah, I know, and I'm familiar with iNews and Premiere. Okay, well, first week at Telemundo, she said, I need someone to go and do an interview, a junket. You know what a junket are.
Yeah.
Junkets are. And I said, sure. And I thought, oh, you're going to go and watch a movie called Mother's Day.
Okay.
And I was like, Okay, I watched the movie, and a wonderful Jason Sudeikis is in the movie with the Julia Roberts. And I watched the movie, but I never thought that I would go and actually interview Jason Sudeikis. And this is where I believe my career started, like in Hollywood. And that from there, I went to many screenings and different red carpets and more and more and more and more. So I have been building my experience as a reporter, as a red carpet reporter / field producer, whatever you want to call it. And that's how I did it. So that's a little bit my, you know, how I ended up in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I will say this. When I was in Orlando in college, I was thinking, it would be cool to do this or to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But be careful. Be careful what you wish for, because it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. And I'm glad it's happening and it's going well. Now, in the show, I'm getting an opportunity to write my own packages and do my own interviews and gain more experience. Because, you know, as a page, you know, basically you have access or you're exposed to certain aspects of the industry. But for me, they have given me so much. And just building experience as a public personality, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you have an experience that many pages don't. And the for those that don't know, the PAGE program is harder to get into than top Ivy League colleges. So You know, and on top of that, you have the opportunity to have your segments and to be in commercials and to produce and to be on red carpets. So, I mean, it's super rare, and you're just making it work for yourself. I mean, it's a very special case, and I love that you have that spirit that you're making the absolute most out of it. I can tell you're working harder than ever, and you're probably happiest, right? You're probably at your most happy.
I was happy before, but now that I found my niche, I'm the happiest man.
Well, that's wonderful.
In the world. Especially in Hollywood. Yeah. But you have to work hard. You have to hustle. You know, I don't think it's difficult to get in, but to stay relevant and to learn as much as you can and work. Work hard. The last red carpet, you know, happened last week, and we're going to talk about, you know, because.
Yeah, we're talking about this Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, yeah. I was on a 95 degree day, hot in California. This is a desert. Not even a bottle of water available.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you are all dressed for success, you know.
Yeah.
And you are there sweating like a pig, and you just have to be there. And if you didn't have the passion, I would probably drop the microphone and I'm out of here. But it keeps me going. I like experience.
Let's talk a little about the experience on the red carpet for Ghostbusters. Now, you're talking with the stars.
And I have something for you before we start. Do you see what I got you?
Yes, he's presented me with...
I present you with this gift.
Thank you very much. Ghosts from Our Past, both literally and figuratively, the study of the paranormal. Now, what I understand is this book is exclusive to the red carpet.
Yes,
premiere.
Absolutely. And it's in the movie. It's a prop. It's something that they call the crossing of the threshold.
Okay.
So because this is what, you know, brings together everything in the movie. That's where the conflict arises. And then the movie starts moving faster and faster when this book shows up in the movie.
Nice.
So it's unique for you. I mean,
I was able
to get to the private party. And it's when some friends gave me a couple copies.
Well, I appreciate it. Yes.
So it's for you.
I need to look at the movie. I know it just came out.
But you will love this movie. You know, it's so much about this movie and so much. I read some articles and people don't seem to like it. But I know why. Because they don't think women can pull off something as big and a classic. Because this is a classic. After 30 years, they were expecting probably 4 guys, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? Big surprise. Women, I mean, I'm talking about these 4 actresses, they are great, my friend.
Yeah.
They do a fantastic job, and they literally kick ass in the movie.
Yeah, I bet.
Not only kick ass with all these fighting scenes, but they kick ass in the entire movie. You will laugh, and so don't drink too much Coke, because you will have to go to the restrooms. You will laugh a lot.
Let's see what Melissa McCarthy told you on the carpet.
Oh, yes.
Was it fun to go from your character to the possessed version of...
Yes. Strangely, there's something about playing possessed that I really liked. It was just fun to put that spin on it, yeah.
She plays no one but 2 characters in the movie.
Yeah.
And for me, that's fantastic. It's everything in the eyes. I know you get that, but everything in the eyes. She's a fantastic actress. She's the best in comedy in America. Mm-hmm. And she only has to be there and move a little bit of her eye. And you know, she's a totally different character.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. And she looked beautiful. She wore this beautiful yellow dress. And it was perfect with the settings. And
she has some great style. Always. Always looks good.
And is a very down-to-earth person.
Mm-hmm.
And she believes in the project, and she told me that she wanted to be in this project for a long, long time. So she's a huge fan of the
That's
movie,
great.
And this movie is already very successful. People are talking about it. Yeah.
Let's see what Leslie Jones has to say.
Tell me, how was it the wrestling match with Melissa McCarthy?
It was awesome because she got face. She's one of the funniest females in the movie.
She has this wonderful personality. She's a big girl.
Yeah.
But her heart and her talent are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked stunning with a beautiful off-the-shoulder red dress. Wow.
She did look great.
It's fantastic.
And it was such controversy over what she was going to wear and who was going to design for her. But it all worked out because she really did look great.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for her. You know, I'm like lukewarm when she's on SNL. Like, I'm like, But as a person, I really like her. And I've been watching a lot of her interviews as she's been promoting this film. I really like her.
No, she started as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And before she was a writer, she lived here in Los Angeles, and she worked for Scientology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was an operator. Scientology, how can I help you? And she told, I think it was in one of the shows, I don't remember, well, the show, but she used to play crazy when she answered the phone.
She used to play crazy, like, you know, she has this kind of, I love that story, that's fantastic.
She played like she not play, but she pretend to be some kind of like she knew that that was not exactly the place where she wanted to be for a long time,
right? Yeah,
but she said I needed to pay my rent.
Yeah,
so
you gotta acting even at work just to get the bills paid.
But look
and
at
give her credit.
How yep. talented and wonderful she is. And the movie, she I think people will remember her as well.
Yeah,
she's on a wonderful path to make more movies.
Now, what were your impressions of Kate McKinnon? And then we'll see what she had to say.
Oh wow, sweet, approachable, nice. I like her. And she was wearing a beautiful blue dress.
Let's listen.
My favorite ghost fighting device, well, it's got to be the proton pack itself. It undergoes a wonderful evolution.
I didn't have an opportunity to talk to Kristen Wiig because she was there, but you know what? It's just, it gets a little crazy and hectic.
And they all come at
like
once.
Everywhere.
Yeah, they all come at once. Yeah, it's true. It's true. So I think you got some great clips anyway, so it all works out. Now, you do all these great things out here, but I want to talk about how it isn't always easy to be here and to continue to work and struggle. Now, your family is in Mexico.
Mexico City. My mom is in Mexico City.
And how long has it been?
I haven't seen her in 15 years.
Oh, my God.
I came here 15 years with what they used to call the diversity visa again. Diversity has followed me everywhere because my scholarship at college was diversity visa too. And, you know, we had so many diversity programs at NBC.
Yeah.
But, yes, I came here. I live in Texas where my first job was a dishwasher. I was there as a dishwasher for 5 years and then I decided that Texas gave me enough opportunities. But it was time for me to move on to Florida, where I continued doing the same thing. And I was able to get my GED, my community college degree, and then I got a scholarship with Rollins College. And I continued working as a dishwasher and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I had a dream. And also, I had a plan. That's the most important thing. And I decided to take internships. And I did a couple of internships in Orlando. Then I met a producer, and he took me to New York City, where I worked for the week. And my first interview, my first professional interview in the red carpet was with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Very New York.
And from that, and I ended up at the private party as well. I always go to those parties. Thank you. And I talked to her on the red carpet, and I was able to talk to her, you know, in the private party. And I find her absolutely fantastic, and she was the one who told me, you know, this is your thing, man.
Yeah,
go continue.
So she kind of lit the fire, you could say.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. And she called me sexy. She said, "I like your accent. You're sexy." I'm like, "Well, thank you." fantastic actress and wonderful personality. Then from there, the Page program. I apply everywhere. Mm-hmm. In the country, not even in the country, outside of the United States as well, because I was ready to do maybe, you know, I knew that it's a route to do international media.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely, you know, given the opportunity to join the Page program here in Los Angeles. And I moved. I left a couple boxes full of clothes and other things, personal items, in my friend's house. And I moved here. With two big bags.
Wow.
My backpack. And I came, you know, chasing my dream. And then I moved here to Hollywood, started a page program, and met wonderful people, including you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the page program has changed my life. I think NBC, the page program, opened this wonderful world of media. And the show Acceso Total opened the world of entertainment for me. Because I think they're two different things.
Absolutely.
And I love entertainment. And with Acceso Total, they are giving me always an opportunity to learn, to grow, and develop. Because they ask me, this is what you're going to do? Okay. Shows. Because I think those opportunities will come to anyone. And you better be prepared.
Yeah.
Read. Study. Just be there. Be there. And but it hasn't been easy because going back to a little bit of maybe immigration, my green card, hopefully, I'm keeping my eyes, my fingers crossed, I'm sorry, it will arrive in September, but it has taken me, since the moment I applied for it, 6 years.
6 years.
And I remember when I applied, they sent me a letter telling me, you're going to get your green card in 3 months. Huh. It's been 6 years.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
You don't get it right away.
And you mentioned that there was a lot of different obstacles they put in your way.
Every time they will find something. For example, we need your birth certificate. And you send a birth certificate. Oh, no. We need a birth certificate from your country with a specific signature or a specific stamp. And you're like, yes, but I technically can't leave the country because if I leave the U.S., then you won't let me go back.
Yeah.
Right? Then you figure out.
Yeah.
And you have 3 months to give us that document. So things like that.
It sounds like a full-time job just to remain here, to work full-time.
The system is broken, and I'm allowed and entitled to say that because I know how it works from this other side.
Yeah, I mean, you know how it works.
Oh, for example, if you have to pay, I call them fines. My friends say, it's a fee. I don't call them a fee. No, it's a fine. Because it can be very expensive when you miss a deadline. You know, I have something that is a work authorization / green card, yet it's not green.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about the green. You know, it's about the green. So my work authorization allows me to stay here. I have a social security number. I pay taxes, for God's sake. I've been in this country for 15 years. But unfortunately, because that car is not green, if I ever leave the country and I try to come back, they will literally deny me the entrance, regardless of the job you have and the taxes that you have paid and the contributions that you have made to this wonderful country.
Right.
It's challenging. Now, imagine for other people.
It sounds so very discouraging. It sounds like they try to break you. It sounds like it's like they just
you got it absolutely right.
So to do things right is not always easy.
Nah, my friend.
No.
But you know what? Even if it takes a year or two for me to get the green card, then I don't have to look over my back. Because I know I have done it the way it's supposed to be done. And I hope for many out there who are in the same situation, don't give up. It's going to get better. And for others out there who they don't have the same, they're not so fortunate, we're going to find a solution to this. And you know what I'm talking about. And we just have to keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And keep working hard, you know. Do your best. So nobody will come and tell you, oh, you don't belong here. Oh, yes, we do. Because we work hard. And we are making this country a better place for everyone.
Yeah.
So please don't give up. And I will be there by your side.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. It's more than I've ever imagined that goes into being able to stay here and to live here and to be able to travel out of the country. I mean, I guess that would be the main reason why you haven't seen your mother, because you can't leave.
15 years without seeing her, and it's challenging, but you know what? It motivates me to do better, because the moment I get my document, I'm booking a flight to Mexico.
Amen. Absolutely.
I'm booking a flight. I'm going to see her. I asked her if she wants to move to the United States, and she said, no, thank you. No, she's not a traveler. She said, I only want to go to Disney, and I want to go and buy clothes and shoes, but I come back to Mexico. Yeah, she's that, you know, so attached to Mexico. She loves it. She doesn't want to learn another language, and I don't blame her. It's a challenge as well, but she says she wants to be. But if I have an opportunity to bring her here to the U.S. or Europe, I will definitely show her the world.
Yes. That would be so nice. Yes, that's absolutely. So great. Let's talk about your recent interview with music producer Fernando.
I met Fernando Garibay. I was the field producer for his interview with the show that I worked recently. And he, for those who don't know Fernando Garibay, he's the music producer behind the hit Alejandro by Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
So I was crazy just to meet him because he put my name on the map.
Yeah.
Ale Alejandro. Hashtag Alejandro. Hashtag Ale Alejandro. And he is, in my opinion, he's one of the most influential music producers in the world. He worked with Whitney Houston. Yeah. God may rest in peace.
Yes.
Sia. Mm-hmm. Kylie Minogue. And of course, Lady Gaga. And he taught me something amazing. He said, Alejandro, words have melody. You have to connect the words to the music of the world. Hmm. And he believed in always producing music in a very peaceful mindset.
Mm-hmm.
No fights, no discussions, no problems. You gotta, when he believes that when you go to the studio, you gotta be in this beautiful and wonderful mindset that you just get in a peaceful mindset, like in a Zen.
He must kind meditate or something. Yeah,
he's absolutely fantastic and so down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this producer who gets to work with the who is who in the industry will be so, you know, unreachable. No, he's so ludic and he's like a kid. He is amazing because many people will be surprised how many producers, actors, writers in the industry are really, really like just like a normal
people.
That, you know, we build this image around them, but he's a fantastic. And he told us, he told the show, he told me, hey, anytime you want to come back, my friend, you know, mi casa es tu casa. And guess what? I'm thinking we might create the demo for the show for your show. So that'd be good.
Yeah,
that'd be
a good idea. Contact to have. Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, what a cool experience you've had.
When they told me, you know, because I was working on getting him an interview from him, it took me, he's busy though. He's a busy person. It took me 3 months to actually book the interview. But it was a wonderful experience. And I'm bringing this along because after I left the studio, I really understood the importance of being happy with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And have passion and keep pushing for what you want to, you know, get in life. And don't give up. Don't give up. And go for what you feel. He told me the story of how he told his parents that he wanted to be a music producer, and they told him, well, you don't want to be a doctor? You don't want to be an attorney?
Mm-hmm.
No. And he had the opportunity to have access to instruments, a piano, a guitar, and he was always drawn into them. He was always playing. He was always doing something. And look how far he is.
Yeah.
He has come. And he, you know, now, I can't wait because I'm going to ask him, because I know he's producing something where he's gonna be himself. No, he's not gonna be behind the keyboard anymore. He's gonna be in front of the keyboard, and I think he's launching a new material, and I think it's gonna be called Only Fernando.
So
I will keep you posted with that, and if I can get an exclusive for the show, I'm gonna bring it. Yeah, because I'm gonna be there. I'm definitely gonna be there. I'm gonna be celebrating with him, and I love him. He's fantastic.
He sounds like he carries the spirit similar to you and me, but also of the show, with really just hustling and getting things done, working hard, working smart, and really being your own manager too at the same time. You got to make your things, you're going to make the stuff happen for you, and you're going to be seeking out the work, and you definitely have. You've come far and wide, and you started out as a dishwasher, and now look what you're doing. So that is so admirable to so many people.
Someone gave me the opportunity, and you know, Fernando Garibay is giving opportunity to people as well. He has a mentorship group, mm-hmm. which is similar to the Page program,
yep.
which is a mentorship group, right? It's about giving opportunities.
It is.
And I think we always should reach out for more opportunities and also give opportunities to others.
Absolutely.
That's, for me, that's my life.
Well, Alejandro, I think your success is well-deserved, and I think the best is yet to come. So
just
have to just keep seeing where things go. But it was great having you on the show. I love your spirit.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me. I really had a great time.
Same here. And we'll have to speak with you again and get caught up with what's next with you coming up. Thank you for the clips. Thank you for the book. And thank you for coming on.
We'll do it for the show.
Thank you very much.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.